was I just see him as a real fiery guy who's willing to be in your face, who would love you, but at the same time, he would tell you, listen, you need Jesus in your life. And he really got the religious leaders in Jerusalem who were following the Jewish religion really riled up against him, and they got so mad that they eventually killed him. That's pretty harsh. Sometimes that happens to people who follow Jesus, though. It happens in the Bible. It's happened all through church history. And as a result, there was a persecution that broke out in Jerusalem against people who were following Jesus. And as that persecution broke out, people literally had to leave town, pack up their stuff, and they scattered all over that area of the world. And so what happened is all these communities now, you have a couple people who might live there who were Jewish, who were following Jesus, who were trusting Jesus. But even up till this point, most of the people who were trusting Christ, who were part of the Christian movement at that time, were people who were Jewish. And so this town of Antioch becomes very important because something really incredible takes place in this town. And I think what happens there is a real message to us about what we need to be doing as a church and who we need to be. So I'm going to read this and then we're going to talk about it and just talk about how it looks like here. Chapter 11, verse 19. Those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. Phoenicia, Cyprus, these are just, Cyprus is an island. It's kind of like, you know, their version of the Bahamas. Phoenicia is kind of a region. Antioch is this place. It's a little farther north, pretty good distance from Jerusalem. They'd scattered all over this place. They were speaking to no one but the Jews, but there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who were coming to Antioch and spoke to the Hellenists. The Hellenists here are Greek-speaking non-Jews, non-religious people. We'll talk about them in a minute. Also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. In Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. I love this story because really what takes place is that the church is at this real juncture. They have to make a decision. Are we primarily going to be a religion for the religious? Are we going to be a religion that reaches out beyond who we are? And what takes place here is very significant because some people say we are going to get outside of our little bubble and reach people who are radically just different from us. They don't act like us. They don't talk like us. And the only way they could do that is to get outside their own little comfort zone and start engaging people who lived in that culture. Now, Antioch is an interesting town. It's the third largest town in the Roman Empire. It's a town that had incredible influence from Greek culture. And it was a culture maker. Antioch was really known. It was a seaport. There was a river that flowed right out of the sea there that went right up to Antioch, and it was a seaport that just because of all the different ways to get to and from Antioch, it was a very important city. All kinds of roads that went everywhere. The seaport, if it was in the United States, it would be like, I think, the city of Chicago. In fact, I imagine people in Antioch even kind of talk with the accent, you know, and they probably followed a track team that went to the Olympics and they hadn't won a gold medal in 100 years. You know, this is Antioch. It was a city that had all kinds of theater. In fact, theaters were very important there. And because of the entertainment industry, they really were a culture trendsetter. Not only that, it was a place that had a lot of religious diversity. It's a region they had really embraced some of the ideas that came from Greek mythology and the Greek gods. 5 miles outside of town, they actually had a big temple and this garden to the goddess Daphne. Now, no, that's not the one from, you know, Scooby-Doo with the red hair. This is a different kind of goddess. But, you know, they had this place where they would go worship. Some of you guys are going, I can't believe you just did that. That's all right. All right. There was this religious passion, but they didn't really know what it was about. And they kind of held on to that religious fervor. But at the same time, they didn't really believe it. That's kind of what Greek culture was all about. In this town, it had about 300,000 people. It was also the capital of that part of the Roman Empire, of the Syrian kind of state, the area. And so it was a city with a lot of influence, a lot of people. A lot of people were wandering and wondering what to do with their lives. And on top of that, it was a free city, which meant that the people could come and go there as they pleased. And because of that, when some of the persecution broke out, actually a lot of Jewish people moved there. So there was a settlement of Hebrew Jewish people that lived there, but they were just a small part of this bigger city. And what takes place in this story is important because they go into the city and they want to tell people about Jesus. They want to help them become followers of who he is and what he was all about. And I hope just for a few minutes this morning to look at that story and share some principles about what these people did as we see that God did a great work. Unbelievable. It says the hand of the Lord was with them. God did something incredible in the city that literally had implications for about four centuries. And it started with one decision. Chapter 11, verse 19, says that they went speaking the word to no one except the Jews. And then in verse 20, it says, but some of them went and spoke to the Greeks. And that is a key issue here. And what I want to do is I just want to share with you four characteristics of what a church would look like there and here if it's missional. If it's a church that says, we're going to be missionaries that go in this culture, what's that going to look like? Because that is who we want to be. And the first thing I want you to understand, I want you to kind of get out of this, is that a church that is missional is a church, they engage the culture. They get involved and they engage the culture. This is what happened. A bunch of people went there and they were Jewish people. And they started going and finding Jewish religious people. People who believed in one God. They were monotheists. They held on to the form of the Jewish religion. They were very religious types of folks. And they began to tell those people about Jesus. And so they would gather, you know, these little huddles of people who were just like them, who walked like them, talked like them. You know, they would wear the hat, the little hat, and they would, you know, do all the ceremonial law. And on Saturday, the Sabbath, they wouldn't work. And they kept all the rules of the Jewish religion. And what those people would do is they would go into their own culture, their own people, and tell them about Jesus. They would say, listen, you were looking for the Messiah, the promised one that God promised our fathers long before. And they would tell them that message. And they basically gathered a group of people who were Jewish who followed Christ. But another group of people came to town. This had never been done before in Christianity yet. Another group of people, they were Jewish. They were followers of Jesus who kind of had that background, that culture. But as they came in, instead of planting a church that looked like them, they decided they would go speak to people who were Greek, who were Hellenists, people who really, their life and passion wasn't anything like theirs. And they began to interact and dialogue and wrestle with the culture that was in Antioch. It was radically different from the culture that was in Jerusalem. They began to realize that the church that was in Jerusalem, if it is planted here, will not work. Because the people of Antioch, these Greek-speaking, Greek-thinking type of people, are not asking the same questions that the people in Antioch are asking. The people in Antioch are not asking the same questions. They don't have the same problems, the same concerns as the people in Jerusalem. And so what happened is that this group of people went in and began to engage that culture. They began to look like people from Antioch and talk like people from Antioch and speak like people from Antioch. But then when they had the opportunity through relationships, they told people from Antioch about Jesus. And they engaged the culture. And I want you to understand that if we're going to be this type of church, we are planted in Eureka, which means that our church may look a lot different. If we take those issues that I shared with you earlier seriously, what we look like as Genesis is going to be a lot different from a church that is in Nashville, Tennessee, or from New York City, or even in downtown St. Louis. We've got to be a church that says, what is it about this culture? How can we engage this culture? How can we be involved in this community and reach the people who live here? How can we develop relationships? And the thing that we need to understand is, what questions are the people from this culture asking? I have a friend who's planted a church. It's a growing, happening church that is down And it started in Clayton. It's real near Washington University. Most of the people who live around their community are single. They have degrees, and most of them have degrees from places like Washington University. The questions that those people are asking are vastly different than the questions that people are asking out here. And if we tried to be them, now we've done some things that are kind of like that church, but if we tried to be The Journey, which is the name of that church here, we're going to have a hard time because it's a different culture than there. And so we need to wrestle with what are the people of this culture asking? What questions do they have? What struggles do they have? What issues can we address? How can we get involved in their lives? How can we build relationships with them? Actually, down here this morning, I'll have them out here for you at the end of the service, have a list of questions that I would challenge you. Just take one. Find somebody who lives in your community and ask them these questions that just kind of says, what are the issues that you're wrestling with, and what are you looking for, you know, when it comes to issues of church and things like that. But this church at Antioch, they literally rolled their sleeves up, and they got involved in that culture. Just huge stuff that goes on with in here. It talks about that they were preaching the Lord Jesus. In verse 20, it says they were preaching the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? Well, they were preaching the gospel. But the reason this is important is because they were not preaching the Messiah. Now, let me explain. The Jewish people, for all their history, were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for this promised one that God had promised who would be the fulfillment of everything that they were looking for and would save them and take care of them. Greek people didn't even know what a Messiah was. I mean, if we walk around today and our culture started talking about the Messiah, Jesus, most people wouldn't have a clue what they were talking about. But they did understand the concept of somebody who was your Lord, because in their culture, the greeting was, Caesar is Lord, the Lord is Caesar. And they would interact with people literally saying, who is in control of my life? When they came and preached to the Hellenists, the Greeks, same message, but they spoke it in a way that spoke to the people who lived in Antioch. That's our challenge. And listen, that's not just something that happens up here. Because most of the people that we want to engage aren't here on Sunday morning. A missional church is not about how many people come. Really, a missional church is about how many people go. A missional church, when I talk about what I'm talking about, we are not primarily going to be a place that says, all right, we're going to do a bunch of big events, and we're going to try to get everybody to come to those big events. What I'm saying is that we want to help you as a person love Jesus so much, and that you go out into your community, and you live that out in such a way that people know that you're a follower of Christ. That's our passion. To live the lives of missionaries in our community, in our culture. And that means we have to rub elbows with people. I got to tell you, that is, I'm going to be gut honest with you. My biggest challenge as a pastor, as a leader of this church right now, is not to get to know you guys better. I love you deeply. My biggest challenge is to get to know the people who live on my street, who right now are sitting at home, reading the paper, having a cup of coffee, or still in bed. Because my call is, it's first to be somebody who lives out the mission on my block. That's what it means to be missional. And that's our dream, is to create a whole church that is kind of our mindset, that we are engaging the culture. The second thing, and the last few I'm going to just share real quick, the second thing about a missional church is that they equip their people to be on mission. As you tell this story, what's really interesting in verses 19 and 20, this incredible church growth happens. There's a lot of people who come to Jesus, and they trust Christ with their lives. But all we don't know anything about the people who came and shared the gospel with these people. Later in the story, we meet Barnabas and we meet Saul. I mean, they are the heroes, man. They're the guys that everybody knows. They end up going all over the world, great missionaries. But the first two people, or the first group of people who come and share the gospel, they're not pastors, they're not preachers, they're not missionaries, i.e. paid people. They're just people who moved from Cyprus and from other areas. They show up in Antioch. Yes, they were Jewish people, but they just said, listen, we're just going to tell people about Jesus. We're going to live our lives like we're crazy about him. We're just going to be involved in this culture. We're going to rub elbows with people here, and we don't know anything about them, but God's hand was with them. And sometimes I think we kind of have this default mode in the church. You know, I hate on my computer when I have to change one of the defaults, because I end up like shutting everything up. It locks up and everything shuts down because I don't know how to do it. Have you ever had that problem where you're like, do you want to change the default on this, on your computer? Or is it just me that, like, when I start trying to do it, it just, like, you know, all of a sudden the screen's upside down and nothing works? I think a lot of times in churches around here, our default mode is, let's come and look at some guy who's standing on stage. He's the guy who does everything. We're just going to sit here and kind of enjoy the show, and then we're going to go home and do life. We have to change the default mode. The default mode is, this time is to challenge us to all go, to be on mission together. That's what it means to be a church, a missional church. And I hope that's who we become. And so my dream and my desire is that we become a training ground, a place where we literally are just challenging and training people to be on mission. We are equipping people to be on mission. A third thing is that a missional church is a place that understands the reason for existence. They understand the reason for existence. Barnabas shows up. The church in Jerusalem, here's what's going on, and they send this guy named Barnabas. Barnabas is a great guy. He's one of those guys that everybody loved to be around. His name literally meant son of encouragement. He was like the biggest encourager you'd ever meet. He was just a real good guy, and he came in, and some things happened as he was there. The first thing is that he began to challenge them to remain faithful in the Lord with steadfast purpose. What he began to do is these people who were new followers of Jesus, he showed up and he began to teach them and share with them and interact with them. And he did it in such a way to say, listen, you're connected to Jesus. Stay there. Love Jesus. Just be crazy about him. One of the things I think that has happened so often is that people who are wanting to help, churches who are wanting to help their congregation live out mission, have done it with things like guilt. They've done it with things like, you know, well, if you really love Jesus, you would go out and share. Or they've done it with kind of arm twisting or with gimmicks. And I think what Barnabas does here is he shows up with these people who are new believers, new followers of Jesus. And he begins to just say, hey, listen, stay connected to Jesus. Love Jesus. Just be crazy about him. Fall in love with him. He's changed your life. You just live for him and fall in love with him. And he doesn't use gimmicks and stuff. He just really says, that's our core message. To you who are a follower of Jesus, our message is, Jesus is awesome. Love him and stay connected to him. We're going to challenge you. We're going to really encourage you. That's going to be one of our core things, is to say to people who are following Jesus, stay connected to Jesus. Love him passionately. But then when that happened, what it says is that many people came to Jesus. And what the text in the original language actually says is many people were brought. It kind of looks like, as you read it here, that Barnabas was like teaching people and then he was going out and helping a whole bunch of people become followers of Jesus. What really was happening is people were getting connected to Jesus and growing in that. They were living their life in such a way that a lot of people were bringing their friends and people who lived around them to Christ. And that was awesome. And so, our reason for existence kind of fits with that. You know, that we, you know, want to see people find a new beginning in Christ, become more like him. And a missional church does that. The last thing is that a missional church is a church that lives out their mission. At the end of this story, there's a really interesting thing. It says they were called Christians the first time. You ever wonder where the word Christian came from? You know, it came from Antioch. This cultural Mecca, this cultural, you know, this Chicago of the Roman Empire, the first Christians, the followers of Christ get called Christians. The interesting thing about this is this was kind of a little bit of a slanderous term, but it was almost like they had given them a name that identified them as a party. And it wasn't because they were goody two-shoes or they were just, you know, perfect people. It really revolved around the fact that these people as a group were living out their mission in Antioch. They were missional. They were living as missionaries. Next few weeks, we're really going to talk about what that might look like. At Genesis, our purpose statement is to help people find a new beginning in Christ and become more like him. But what that means is that we as a church want to help people get connected to Jesus and challenge them to remain true to that and to trust him and to love him and to grow in that. And as we do that, that means that we're going to be a sending church, not a gathering church primarily. You know, last few weeks, I've struggled a little bit. I'll be God honest with you, that our numbers dropped a little bit. But what it did in my heart is that God spoke to me. And really, I felt like God was challenging me to say, listen, this is not about you getting people to come. It's about you going. I've got to do that. And I want you to be along for that journey. What are the people that are around your neighborhood? As I think about my street, I think about a family that lives close to us, that love living in Eureka, but dad just got transferred. And they've got two kids that are high school age who are struggling with, man, we're going to have to move somewhere south and live there. And how am I going to wrestle with that? I think about a lady who lives in our block who whose life is really just shattered because, you know, her husband of many, many years left her. I think about another family who is just hurting deeply because of the tension and this turmoil and the wrestling that they have in their lives. These people all need a new beginning. Who are the people in your life that need a new beginning in Christ? How can you live out the life of a missionary in their lives? How can you be like the people in Antioch? You know, I think about this and I think, you know, if somebody from China sent missionaries to live on my block, what would they have to do to make a difference there? Those are things that I have to do. Anyway, that's kind of where we're at and what we're about as a church. We want to be a missional church. We want to be a church that if you're a part of us, it's more than just showing up on Sunday morning. We want to equip you and send you and help you be involved in reaching Eureka. It's a great place to live. But there's a lot of people here who need to be connected to a new beginning in Jesus. We want to be a part of that. And we hope you will too. I'm going to pray. After I pray, our band's going to come up. Because our response to everything God says is always worship. It's to look at him and say, God, you are wonderful. We're here today because of you, and we trust our lives to you. We're going to worship. We're going to invite you after I pray to stand and sing with us and just have a heart that just says, God, you are wonderful in my life. While we're doing that, we're going to take up our offering. If you're a guest with us, this is your first time, we really aren't asking you to give. We do an offering on Sunday morning because for those who are part of Genesis, it's our way of saying, you know, God, you've done so much for me, and now I'm giving back to you. As we worship, if you have questions or concerns, or you'd like to find out more about this or about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, I'd love to talk to you and just chit-chat. I'll be out at the information table after the service. And if you're new, I'd love to meet you and get to know you. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for the mission you've called us on. I just pray that you would help us be like the church in Antioch, to be a church that lives out the mission of holding on to the gospel with one hand, but loving our culture with the other. And I just pray, Lord, you would help us as a church be in Eureka, the same type of people that those people in Antioch were. As we worship you this morning, Lord, help us lift our hearts to you. In your name I pray. Amen.